Imagine this. A team launches a pilot that solves a painful customer issue. The pilot looks great. There are headlines in the company newsletter. And 3 months after rollout, the new process has quietly unraveled. The metrics show activity, meetings, reports, dashboards, but the actual customer problem is back. Momentum is gone. Trust is frayed. Leaders ask why the shiny solution didn't scale. That is our cold open today, a success that fooled us into thinking the work was done.
That vignette hits home for a lot of leaders. Good intention, visible activity, limited lasting impact. Today, we're asking, how do senior leaders decide what to fix, what to defer, and what to stop, so attention actually builds capability rather than noise?
Welcome back to the Excellence Imperative. I'm James Whitmore.
And I'm Mark Ellison. This is the show about servant leadership and operational excellence, where principles guide decisions and leader behavior changes outcomes.
Excellence is not an outcome. It's a way of leading. Today's conversation is about the portfolio of improvement work. Not the list of ideas, but the governance and leader behaviors that turn limited attention into sustainable capability. We'll walk four prioritization lenses, give you decision scripts, walk through a real reality check case, and offer a 2-week experiment you can run Monday morning.
Quick framing before we dive in. Organizations have infinite demand and finite capacity. Without a portfolio lens, you get novelty chasing, activity for activity's sake, and an exhausted front line. Our job as leaders is not to approve everything. It's to create a portfolio that matches strategy, preserves people, and delivers durable capability.
Let's do an execution reality check. What are the common failure modes we see when improvement programs fail to scale? Mark, you want to kick us off?
Sure. First, we confuse activity with impact. A pilot that creates spreadsheets, meetings, and a few local wins looks busy. But if the front line can't sustain the new behaviors without constant leader babysitting, it's not capability, it's a temporary patch. Second, we hoard initiatives. Every leader's pet project becomes its own little kingdom, and we never reconcile overlapping work. Third, novelty bias. We chase the newest idea instead of asking whether it leverages existing capacity or systems.
Good list. I'd add one more. Lack of clear decision rules. When every initiative is treated as urgent, people default to running more pilots instead of asking whether the work moves strategic needle or just makes people busy. Results are the lagging indicator. Leadership behavior is the cause.
Which brings us to our panel structure today. We'll examine four lenses you can use to sort work: customer impact, capability lift, systemic leverage, and risk of rework, and then make those lenses operational with short decision rules and tracks.
Before we unpack the lenses, quick introductions to the perspectives we'll draw from in this episode. We're drawing on a transformation leader who had to rebalance a runaway pipeline that was eating resources, and a frontline manager who felt change fatigue as dozens of small pilots landed on their team. We'll summarize their experience and read key quotes so you get the human side of the choices.
Here's the transformation leader in one line. They inherited a 120-project backlog, realized most projects overlapped, and found themselves approving work to avoid conflict rather than to build capability. Quote, "We were a factory of pilots. Everyone wanted to try something, but nobody owned the system."
And the frontline manager, juggling day-to-day throughput while dozens of improvement ideas landed, each with its own requirements. She said, "I couldn't say no. I didn't want to be the blocker. But every new pilot meant my team was pulling double duty." That's the trust and capacity problem up close.
Okay, four lenses. I'll name each and let James and I work through the leader questions you actually use at intake. Lens 1, customer impact. Ask, does this work measurably reduce pain for the customer or the internal customer we serve? Is the benefit durable?
Add to that, who experiences the improvement day to day? If the improvement only makes a manager's life easier, but adds cognitive load to frontline people, that's a red flag. Leaders should ask, who loses if this is not done, and who benefits if it is? Simple questions, but they reveal intent.
Lens 2. Capability lift. Does the work transfer capability, or does it create dependence on a hero? Real capability means the front line can do the work without project-level rescue. Decision question. After 6 weeks, can the process be run by local leaders with routine coaching?
Right. And this is where leader standard work matters. Leaders need to plan for a handoff at intake. What training? What measurement? What leader check-ins will be left behind? If that plan isn't part of the proposal, pause the idea until it is.
Lens 3. Systemic leverage. Will this change reduce friction across multiple teams, or is it a one-off optimization that won't scale? Ask, does this solve a root cause or just a symptom? If you can draw a simple causal chain from the work to system-level outcomes, that's leverage.
And lens 4, risk of rework. How likely is it that we'll undo this work if underlying issues remain? Sometimes it's better to pause and fix the root constraint than to layer another workaround. Leaders should ask, what would make us roll back this change? If the answer is, we didn't align incentives, or no leader is accountable, that's a big risk.
Those lenses are useful only if they come with short decision rules. Here are three practical rules we use. 1. If an idea scores low on two or more lenses, don't launch it now. Defer. 2. Any idea that requires more than two leaders to align must include a joint commitment charter. 3. Pilots get 60 days of active leader engagement, then a scheduled handoff or a formal pause.
Let me offer a script leaders can use in a conversation with a sponsor or frontline manager. Say, we value this idea. Before we invest limited attention, help me understand. What problem for the customer are we fixing? How will capability be transferred? And what would cause us to stop this work?
A governance mechanic suggestion. A weekly 30-minute intake triage with three questions. Impact, capability plan, and stop criteria. Keep the session short. Make decisions visible. Leaders are accountable for what actually happens, not what they intend.
Now the case study. The organization launched a promising pilot to reduce order errors. Early results looked great in a single site. When scaled, multiple teams adopted slightly different versions. Instead of standardizing, leaders let local tweaks proliferate. Months later, error rates rebounded and people blamed the tool, not the inconsistent adoption or lack of training. The program consumed resources and trust without delivering a lasting fix.
In that situation, the solution wasn't more pilots. It was a pause, a simple redesign, and a governance reset. They applied the lenses. Customer impact was real, capability lift was missing, systemic leverage was low because sites were experimenting in isolation, and the rework risk was high. They paused rollout, agreed on a standard, trained local coaches, and defined a 2-week stabilization window at each site before the next rollout.
That pause was handled with transparency. Leaders sent a short note. We're pausing to make this sustainable. Here's what we will do in 2 weeks and who will be accountable.
That preserved psychological safety. People didn't feel blamed, and it signaled that stopping is part of disciplined leadership, not punishment.
Which brings up the leadership tension, central control versus distributed choice. Do you centralize decisions to protect system integrity, or let teams choose to preserve ownership? All argue you need both. Centralized decision rules and guardrails. Distribute choice within that framework.
I agree. Leaders often default to top-down control when things go wrong, and that erodes ownership. Instead, model a script. Central leaders provide the lenses and decision rules. Local leaders propose solutions and own execution. If an initiative crosses boundaries, we require explicit cross-team commitments and a named owner who will carry the decision forward. Principles don't expire. Practices do.
We promised practical tools, so here's a 2-week experiment any leadership team can run. Week 1, run an intake triage for 10 active initiatives using the 4 lenses. Tag each initiative: scale, redesign, defer, or stop. Week 2, communicate decisions in a single transparent update and assign a stabilization owner for each initiative you move to scale. Measure leader touch hours saved and frontline feedback as early indicators.
And a lightweight prioritization checklist to carry in your pocket. One sentence problem statement. One measurable customer outcome. A capability transfer plan with named coaches. Clear stop criteria. And an owner with authority to pause if conditions change. Use the checklist at intake and at the 6-week review.
Practical reality check. What should you measure in the first 30 days to know you improved focus, not just activity? Track 3 things. Number of active initiatives. Are you reducing noise? Percentage of initiatives with a capability transfer plan. And frontline sentiment about workload. If active initiatives fall and frontline sentiment improves, while customer indicators stay steady or improve, you're moving in the right direction.
Quick leader behaviors to anchor this work. Ask better intake questions. Require a handoff plan before scale. Communicate pauses as design work. And use short, visible governance check-ins. Your role as a leader is to remove barriers, not become one.
And preserve frontline voice. We mitigated the risk of centralized control by including a simple rule. Any pause or retire decision must be accompanied by a communication template that explains why and how people will be supported. That keeps psychological safety intact and prevents the perception of unilateral cancellations.
For leaders listening right now, here's a reflection question to carry into your week. What one improvement in your portfolio, if paused for 2 weeks and redesigned, would free up the most capacity and restore momentum? I'll wait while you imagine it.
Don't pick the most politically sticky project as an avoidance exercise. Pick the one that consistently drains attention without durable outcomes. That's where your principled pause will deliver the biggest return.
To synthesize, treat your improvement work as a portfolio. Use the 4 lenses to sort demand. Apply short decision rules. Preserve frontline voice. And communicate pauses as deliberate design. Principles guide the choices. Leader behavior makes them real. When principles are clear, decisions get easier.
Before we close, one last practical tip. Add a single line to your weekly leadership cadence, current portfolio health, and spend 10 minutes on it. It keeps attention visible and prevents pipeline bloat.
Thank you for joining us for this conversation. If you took one thing away today, let it be this. Results are the lagging indicator. What you do as a leader today, what you approve, what you pause, how you communicate, determines whether those results endure.
Principles don't expire. Practices do.
If this episode helped you, tell a colleague. Share it with a leader who needs permission to pause. And next week, we'll dig into how leader standard work sustains these decisions.
Excellence is not an outcome. It's a way of leading. And that's our cue to sign off. Thanks for listening.